Hello, everyone. Thanks for joining us today. If you want to know what is the best use of technology in customer success for 2022, I have the answer for you. Stick around if you want to see amazing way of leveraging technology in the most innovative of ways. This specific story blew my mind when I was part of the judging committee for the Customer Success Excellence Award. And I got to say, I'm so excited to have Yair with me. Yair, maybe you can introduce yourself. Thank you so much for joining us to just kind of like share your story. How did you come about this idea and all of that? We'll get into it in greater detail, but I'm just like blown away. And thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure. And I'm watching your channel for a long time now. So participating in it, it's quite an experience and a pleasure and an honor. So thank you for having me and inviting me. I'm working in ControlUp. I've been in customer facing thing, I think almost 15 years now, various positions, various companies, B2C and most of it B2B. So I have a lot of experience around my career and I picked up a lot of things. So I started working in ControlUp 3 years ago. I was the first customer success manager in EMEA. ControlUp is Israeli startup. It's for the IT. So our champions are IT admins. Very tech savvy, but they are firefighters, so they don't have time. And the time that they have to migrate from one data center to another or have another project to upgrade a specific platform. So they don't have time. That's the problem that we are facing, that they don't have a lot of time for us.
This story is about how you leverage technology to solve for this issue and what amazing results you got out of it.
Yeah. Was a vision of mine for a long time. So I started as the first customer success manager for the strategic accounts in EMEA. I've done that for 2 years. I enjoyed the interaction with the customers, but I always felt bad that we don't invest enough resources because it's impossible for the smaller accounts. And there's so much value that they're missing out of the product. And I wanted a way to engage with them in a way that it can be scaled, in the sense that not we are hiring more people or increasing our headcounts in an efficient way, but actually building, I call it a boat or a machine, where you can actually add more and more customers without an extra overhead. So scaling in a different way. And I had this vision, and after 2 years, I felt like it's time for me to change. I actually approached my bosses and say, listen, what can I do? I have a lot of experience here. I love the company. It's a great company to work in. I have this vision. So ControlUp and my managers are great. They count on me and gave me the benefit of the doubt and gave me a room to experiment and play. So I looked around and I saw a lot of different platforms out in the market. And I chose one. It's called EverAfter. And it's a niche in the customer success platforms. What they are providing you is the ability, without knowing any code, so it's drag and drop of widgets, to actually manage the engagements with your customers. Mm-hmm. So they designed a very good product. It's like a customer hub, they call it. It's very personalized, and you can actually engage in that way without emails.
Before we like go into explain each tool and what you've done, maybe you kind of tell us what was the outcome of just use one solution. It was like a, not just EverAfter, but actually some additional things. But what propelled you to actually go through with it? Because you said you were like nulling on it for 2 years.
It was a number of things. One is I felt like very comfortable in what I'm doing. In some cases, a bit unchallenged. So I said to myself, now it's the time to seek the next challenge for me. And felt very bad for my customers because sometimes you have those small accounts that someone from sales or the renewal specialists ask you, can you help me with that? Can you help me with that? And with a small interaction with them, we got value. So I said, if we can get value with a small interaction, why don't we, there is gold there for the customers from our interactions, but also for the business, they can see more renewal rate, upsells and so on. So I played with that and I said, now is the time to do that because we have a large customer base and we need to give them the love and attention that they deserve.
So according to your entry, actually your COO submitted the entry for the Customer Success Excellence Award for the Nest in Technology. He actually said that the company had about 2/3 of its customer base without an assigned CSM. So that was one. And then the compelling event, according to him, was they actually wanted everyone to upgrade to a new version. I guess they wanted to sunset the older one. And that's where whatever you build actually created massive value for the customer that was merit enough to, you know, have him submit the application for you to win this award.
Story was, yes, we wanted to push very quickly our customer base to a new version. We published what we call the CVE, which is a common vulnerability and exposure. There is a place where when you found a security vulnerability in your product, you can actually let everybody know that this is happening. There were a number of very major CVEs last year, not from our company, around very big, massive in the IT world that really shook a lot of companies. So we had one that we wanted published. We already fixed it in the next version. So we wanted to push as many customers to upgrade the version before we publish it so they will be secure. The challenge was how we deliver this message on one hand, and on the other hand, how we don't overload our tech support team, which is already working very hard and providing very good and excellent. So we didn't want this push for the upgrade to impact our day-to-day support activities for our customers. I used this actually, this opportunity. I said to Yoni Avital, our co-founder and COO, tell them, let's buy a pilot. Let's buy Ever After for 2.5 months. Okay, give me 2.5 months. Let's see what we can
10
do.
10 weeks.
10 weeks, exactly, because I had 10 weeks till we published the CVE.
So this was January 2022. You get 10 weeks. You ask the co-founder, hey, can I get a budget for like a proof of concept with these guys? What does he say?
He said yes. So I had the CVE was published on the 2nd of January.
Wow.
I got from the mid-October till December, which is a very tough period because there are a lot of free change freezes there. Christmas is there.
Yeah.
Everybody in the mindset of end of the year. So it was completely not ideal timing. What I did, I had 3 weeks to set it up from the ground up. So
the hub
itself, the sequence, I had to invite people to the hub. So it was like an email campaign that we did using Outreach. So very simple. The Ever After team is great. They cooperated with all my shenanigans and all my, hey, can you do this and can you do that? And there is a time pressure and they really helped me deliver.
How many emails did you send to get your customers to this new hub?
So every week we send an email. From the get-go, the first email, everybody got the same. And then we tracked their progress. And some did like a halfway upgrade. They only upgrade this component and that component. So we started to bucket the customers to different stages of the upgrade. And then for each bucket, we had a different message. But the call to action was actually the same. Go to the customer hub. In the customer hub, the actual content was different for each and every bucket. If they actually already, let's say, upgrade one component, they will log into the customer hub and that task were already pre-checked for them.
They go to the hub, they have a task list, and you also customize the. Who helped you come up with this elaborate email campaign? That's insane. Like, not only does it have like weekly reminders if they haven't even started, but now you have to permeate based on where they are in the task list.
I got help in the fine tunings because English is not my native language.
Yeah.
So creating a sense of urgency from the customer, using the right word in the subject line, how we are positively and not just with pleasure and not pain, so to speak, engage them, encourage them to open the email. So one of the first challenges was open the email. Not everybody opens those emails. You can imagine how many emails IT gets. Everyone gets a lot of emails and they are not opening it all the time. So the open rate was critical. And I can actually show you some statistics that I had. So this is actually from the POC, but it's the same principle. So I divided it into regions. So you need to send the email in the morning, Israel morning for EMEA, and then you have for the US later in the evening. You can see exactly the open rate and so on. This is on the POC that I did in the summer, but still it's the same principle. So basically we tracked their progress, we bucket the customers, we changed the content in the customer hub accordingly. So it was very familiar for them. It was very personalized for them because they saw that we get them. And every day, the hub will be updated. So even if I didn't send them an email, but we registered a progress and they log in again, they will see, hey, I did that. They get like a confirmation that going through the process. It was very amazing to see. So in the end, we had more than 700 customers that approached. I think around 30% of them completed the upgrade. This was through my engagement with them and through EverAfter with the customer portal. The overhead on the support was 10 support tickets.
That's wonderful. If you didn't have the technology to help you with the email campaigns and the hub where they can actually go through all these tasks, then mm-hmm. you would literally have to have somebody call each one, make sure that they're aware, or send them an email and then never know if they've done anything or not.
Probably we would send an email. We did send an email. So it first started with an email that our CISO, Chief Security Information, is sent, alerting everybody. The highest official in control up regarding that mm-hmm. said that this is going to come. Please upgrade. Basically, there was in that email a link to the knowledge base article directing them on how to upgrade. So basically, we have a knowledge base article that they can follow up and do the upgrade process. But the portal was basically an interactive guide that really gave them the specific call to action when they need to do it. And once they did it, they can actually check, I did this. And we could also identify that and pre-check it for them, which is, that's basically what we have. And I have some screenshots from there because it's all right. So when they logged, they saw the email from the CISO. So they have the email, this is the alert. This was published in November 9th. So the hub was still not on. So this was wow. the start of the campaign.
Yep.
And then they had like the milestone. So where you are in the upgrade process. So you need to do this and then you need to do that and so on and so forth. So we actually guide them through a step-by-step on how they can do that. That's basically how we did it. And the same principles are now available for our customers with much more elaborate onboarding process.
Yeah, what do you think would have happened if you didn't use a hub?
I think that just percentage of customers that completed the upgrade was less.
Would have been
before
less.
Before we published.
What would you have done? Would you just send them emails and like tell them, hey, please upgrade. Here's a knowledge base article. What was the old days?
Basically that. So yeah. I would just do the emails.
And maybe call a few strategic customers.
It actually was with the unmanaged accounts. The strategic mm-hmm. customers, the CSMs approached them, making sure, gave them all the support that they need in order to upgrade. That segment was covered by the CSMs. So each CSM has around 50, 30, depends on the size, accounts. They actually started before because we needed to prepare the campaign. We needed to prepare everything. So for the strategic account learned about this like a month before.
Wow.
They had a four on us. But also strategic accounts takes longer change cycles. So to be fair, it's roughly the same. So the segment that is managed was covered.
So this was really an initiative about how can we use technology to provide value and get results in a much bigger scale with unmanaged accounts. I want to emphasize that this was an extremely successful endeavor. That in normal days, just sending in emails and pointing them out to like a knowledge base, or even have like, I don't know, a list of tasks in Asana, let's say, is never going to give you the same results because you couldn't have had the combination of an email campaign, follow-up, and like even keeping track of where they are, creating some dashboards or reports. And so since then, because you took that initiative, you took that risk and it paid off What is happening now in your career? Did you get like some sort of a new role?
Yeah. Yes, I did. Now I'm heading a team of three, the customer success operations. We are responsible on the same segment. So we have three people managing more than 1,000 accounts. We are doing a combined thing. We didn't finish yet. There are a lot of things that are coming. The data you need to, what we're doing now and working is actually aggregating the customer data from multiple sources. It's usage data, license data, the customer cycle, so where he is in the life cycle, aggregating everything into a number of call to actions. And what we did is we build like a switchboard in our CRM that controls the combination of this switchboard, controls the view and the content that the customer sees in his customer hub.
Wow.
And every day, this content is updated. So if the usage go down or the usage go up or something is not functioning properly, they will get a specific alert and a specific recommendation or a call to action. Take 2 minutes and fix this. Just go here, do that. Most of the call to actions have like a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 steps. Right click here, go there, but also have a video tutorial. So they have like a 30 seconds, 40 seconds video. So if they want to see how it will look in the product and what the end result should look like, because they are the one that need this reassurance, they have that. It's really effective when we see the customers, I call it play with us. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they come back to us and say, okay, that's great, but we're missing this. Can you do that? That would be great. So it's an interactive engagement. That it's not, we listen to our customers as well, we see their behavior and get their feedback. So it's very dynamic. So we can change it very quickly.
That's awesome. So you're essentially now moved from a CSM role to a team leader role that's in charge of these, what used to be unmanaged accounts. Now they're managed by your team. The team is called CSOps. And then beyond that, did you take the hub to the next level, because you initially just used it for this one CVE, you called it, event. Mm-hmm. What do you leverage it now?
So every customer that we're responsible on get this hub. It starts with my journey. Now, at the moment, what we have is a full onboarding process. They start with mapping, telling us exactly what technology do they use, because our platform can integrate with many different technologies. So we need to understand exactly what do they use.
Nice. Yeah.
And then once they fill it up, the hub automatically updated and just provides them the relevant information for them. Our platform, so they go here, they click here, and very quickly they say, okay, I'm using this hypervisor, I'm using this EUC, and so on and so forth. I don't want to get too technical, but they tell us what they got. And once they close that and they finish the mapping, mm-hmm. they actually go to the second milestone. Second milestone is preparing the prerequisites. Now think about the recipe. You first have to prepare the ingredients. So in our world is we need a machine server to deploy a monitor. We need you to open up the firewall for a specific set of ports and so on and so forth. So once they finish mapping their environment and the technology stack, they go to, okay, what ingredients do I need to prepare? And they will see exactly the ingredients that they need to prepare according to their technology. So right here, it's already customized. And then they can, it's like a checkbox, okay? They can say, okay, I prepared this ingredient and this is what this is. Okay, this is a controller console. Okay, this is the system requirement. So every specific ingredient, they can actually expand that and see additional information. Mm-hmm. Okay, what is the minimal requirements? For the firewall, there is a long list. So we just gave a link to our knowledge base article that lists all the different ports. So everything is in the fingertips. And that's basically the guided principle. Mm-hmm. These guys don't have the bandwidth, I call it the mental bandwidth, and they don't have the time to look around for what they need to do. They need to know what they need to do, when they need to do it, and everything needs to be accessible. Because if they have 5 minutes to spend with me, I want these 5 minutes to count. So I really appreciate any time they are spending with us. And then it's just a checkbox. Okay, you need to do this, you need to do that. And once they finish that, they can go to the installation. And this, I got help from our academy team, and they created for me those video snippets that I talked about. So this is a group effort. It's not just me. But again, every step, they have the 1, 2, 3 steps that they need to take. But if they want to see the video on how it looks, they have it every step. And then once they finish it, they tick it off, and that's it.
What is the overall customer experience like? What is some of the customer's feedback? And do you see a higher engagement from customers since you developed this and shared this with your smaller segment?
So first of all, to be honest, we launched it in the beginning of June. So it took a bit time to work it out. And I was transitioning to this position. So I was doing two jobs in between until my replacement was. So basically, we just launched it. So we have about 10 customers that are going through the motions. We see some of them logging in like every couple of days. So they finish one thing and then go to another. But in a month or two, I will know much more.
Does the system actually give you some reports to say who logged when? And do they have a lot of tasks that are open?
Yeah, so they have a built-in analytics. They have also an API where I can, every click that the customer does, if he's expanding the widget or updating some field or anything that they do, I get an API for it. So I can actually feed that back to the CRM. Actually, everybody can see when the customer logged in, what exactly did he do, and how does he progress with his call to action. So this is my journey, and this is just the first one. For our existing customers, we'll have like a very tailored call to action. You are not using this feature. Let's show you why you need to use this. You just drive adoption, drive the usage up, and eventually drive the value that the customer sees. And in my control up tab, they can see their license. They can see some useful links over here, and they can actually book a meeting with us. So if they click here, they can actually see the availability of all our team. So if one of my team is available, if it's me or my teammates, if one of us is available, there is an open slot. So we can cover, because one of my team is in Los Angeles and we live in Israel, so we can cover almost 24 hours for our customers.
And so is that an integration with Calendly or one of those tools?
Yes. So it's we call it a round robin meeting or event. So they can contract who is their team. So they can call up support, they can call us. And here are the news. So any news that we have, if it's a new version, if it's an alert, or for instance, what you see over here, Microsoft did an update to the Windows, and this update affected some of the functionality that we have with ControlUp. We have a workaround until we have a permanent fix in the next version. So if they log in, they know that if they implemented this update, this window update, we have a workaround. They just need to click here and they have the knowledge base. So we actually say to them, guys, here you can find all the news. Here you can find everything that you need to find. And with time, this will be much more robust. And we are planning to integrate in our core product as well. So in 2023, I got a promise from our product that we will embed the customer hub inside the product as well. So
like as another tab inside the product?
It's yet to be decided yet. So basically it would be like a help or a question mark. Yeah. That's the way I envision it. Then they drop down and they will see a lot of things. They will see the knowledge center, they will see call up support, they will see personalized portal or your customer hub.
But basically you're trying to avoid having them remember different URLs and like having to log into multiple systems with different logins. You're trying to create a seamless customer experience.
Absolutely. And one of the challenges that we have is to have what we call a federated login. So once they log into the product, they will see the academy portal. They can see the self-service portal. They will be able to see the customer hub. So everything, it's like, is it a service? Is it a product? Is it part of the service, part of the product? Everything is a mash when you are in SaaS.
So all in all, you got what percentage of your customers actually upgrade to the new version in time from your untapped customer segment because of this initiative?
If I remember correctly, we approached more than 700 customers. Right. Only 580 opened the email. So you can see how many emails did I send. You can see how many emails bounced and so on. You can see how many logins do we have. How many engagement and acknowledgements did you get? Here over here, you can see what are the complete types. So which customers and which widgets were checked. The customer gave us acknowledgement. Yes, I did this. I did this. So you can see exactly every step in the way. Yeah, and you can see again in the results. So the endpoints is the challenge because it takes time to upgrade them. So we can see how many customers did upgrade above 95%. And you can see that in the end result was almost 300 customers above 95% of the agents were upgraded to the latest version. And that's basically it. And these are the ones that didn't respond. So it was a very successful campaign as a whole.
Overall, you had out of 700 accounts, you had 300 actually completely upgrade. And I want to emphasize, these are accounts that did not have an assigned CSM.
Right.
And 50% of those who upgraded actually did that through that customer portal experience. So the other half, remaining 156 accounts that did not go into the hub, how did they upgrade? How did they know what to do?
So they have experience. So ControlUp is not a very complicated platform to manage. So all they followed the knowledge-based article, or they already knew because it's not the first time that they upgrade the version. So still 50% of those who finished the upgrade logged into EverAfter and did it with me. And there were some security enhancements, recommendations, some actions that are actually not part of the upgrade that we added there. If you want an extra bonus point, do this and so on. So it was a very fun experience.
Well, bottom line is if companies or customer success managers want to increase or almost double the number of unassigned CSM accounts, they can sort of like follow the blueprint that you set up, leveraging email campaigns alongside a customer portal or a customer hub with clear action items and customizable email campaigns that follow their journey and like the path that they're taking and continuously encourage them to take action until the task is completed.
Yeah, absolutely. This is a mind switch that I had to make. Instead of managing accounts and people, I'm actually now, me and my team actually manage buckets of accounts.
Yeah.
And our goal is to drive the customer from one bucket to another bucket to another bucket until they get to this golden bucket where you use all the features, you get the value, you have a very healthy usage, and you interact with us. Once they get to there, okay, what else that they can do? So they can do a review. They can be a customer advocate. They can participate in the beta. So it's never ends. And then something broken in the system, so they go back to a different bucket, and then we help them go to that bucket. So it's just one call to action to another. It's really a mind switch that I had to do.
Wow. And I love the way you think about it. In developing a digital engagement for customers, it's really about chaperoning them along the lines of making them more and more mature and getting more and more value through their lifetime until they get to this best in class bucket, if you will.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, I'm not surprised at all you won best technology use in customer success. This was absolutely fascinating. I think one message that I want to make it clear to the audience today, to win these type of awards, you have to think outside the box. You have to try something nobody's ever tried before or not commonly used so that it's highly innovative. And step outside your comfort zone. You were basically a CSM. You didn't have a team. Nobody forced you to do it. You sort of like started thinking, here's a problem. I want to help my customers. How can I do it in a creative way that doesn't ask my CEO for additional people just so we can solve this issue?